The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House by Michael Wolff. Huh. Ever heard of it? If you haven't, you have absolutely no connection to the outside world in America. It's the only thing that seems to matter in America right now. So much for changing the narrative in 2018. A book like Fire and Fury is business as usual. Dozens of books like it are written about every president while they're in office. It wouldn't even really be newsworthy if it weren't for two things. One, I believe this was practically ghostwritten by Steve Bannon. It is everything Steve Bannon wants you to think. The other problem with it is the president of the United States. Would you stop talking about it? It would have half the sales if Donald Trump would have said, yeah, I don't know anything about it, and just left it at that. It's a really simple solution for a president who obviously wants to be liked. Mr. President, accept the fact that at least half the country are never going to like you. Stop griping about the books like Fire and Fury, because there's going to be a new book. I have to tell you, I'm writing a new book. It has nothing to do with you, but I'm thinking about putting your face on the cover, getting Steve Bannon to say one thing, and then just say, name of the book is Traitor. It has nothing to do with you, but you will talk about it so much, I'll sell 5 million books. Stop it, Mr. President, please. This is not a winnable game for you to win on Twitter. It's not. You can't control what the critics say, but you can control how you respond. Focus on your job. Show that you care more about the country than criticisms about you. I know I'm not alone in this. We are sick of the daily grind of this war on the president. And the president's not going to be able to stop the media war against him, but he could certainly stop throwing gasoline on the fire with tweets, quite frankly, like I'm like very smart. A year into the presidency, you would think this incessant game of he said, she said would have died down, but we are stuck in the same annoying loop. So what if this annoying game doesn't stop until 2018? What do we do if it doesn't stop in 2018? Well, then we have to make a choice ourselves. It's a new year. We're going to be part of the solution or part of the problem. Making America great again, unfortunately, is now a punchline for at least half the country. But that shouldn't be the goal of every American. At least not every Republican American or every Democratic American. It should be the goal in our own way in everyone's life. It's our job to build a better country, a better life for ourselves. It's our job to build better citizens. So what can we do to make just our home great again? Just ourselves. I don't know if any of us have ever been great, but good. But your neighborhood, your community, how can we serve our fellow Americans today? Less focus on the media, less focus on the president, less focus on our side winning, their side losing. Even less focus on ourselves, more focus on serving others, more focus on fixing our own internal problems, because that's what will make America great again, and that is what matters most.
It's Monday, January 8th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We have a few things to get to. I have, I think, what is it, 41 predictions that I wrote over the holiday. I haven't even gone over them with everybody on the staff yet. I sent them to Stu late last night. And there's some of them. A lot of them are really risky. Really risky. I'll give you some of them. Give you a couple of them here today. Some of them is on medicine. Some of it is on religion. Some of it is on war, Turkey, Iran, Russia, Bitcoin, AI. This one, just lost it. Where's the one about the moon? Did you read the one about the moon?
Here. No.
New evidence will be introduced that will take us one step closer to verifying intelligent alien life. Now, this, I know I'm way out on a limb here. I'm way out on a limb. But something just bothers me that with all of the stuff that is going on with space right now, and you know, we had the guy who was running the program for the Pentagon for, you know, unidentified flying objects. We had him on right before the holiday, and he said something that I think everybody missed. He's like, oh, yeah, there's definitely extraterrestrial life. We have the evidence of it, but it's not all out. I mean, what? Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
What? Mm-hmm. Did anybody hear that? Here's the guy who was running for the Pentagon.
Right. It wasn't like Jesse Ventura saying it.
Yes. <Right. laughs> It was the guy who ran the program. And it just seems odd to me, everything that's going on with space. But listen to this. New evidence will be introduced that will take us one step closer to verifying intelligent alien life. While I doubt this, it may be connected to the China rover mission on the far side of the moon. Now, do you know anything about this?
I hadn't until I read this yesterday.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I've been watching what's going on in China. China is going to, I think it's their Chang'e 4 or 5. It is, they have been launching things up in space towards the moon, and they're saying that they're going to land on the far side of the moon. And they're going to be able to launch a rover on the far side of the moon. Now, this is really important for several reasons. One, they're going to do something that we haven't been able to do, and that is send an automated robot on the dark side of the moon, which gives you won't get any information or be able to send any information because it's blocking all the, you know, it's like, you know, making a cell phone call, you know, in your basement where you don't get any good cell reception. So they're going to launch a satellite that will be over the dark side. And it will communicate with Earth, and then this rover will go down. But it also, for the first time, will listen to, low-frequency radio sky. We can't listen in silence to space. So when we're listening for signals for extraterrestrial life, we can't hear them because there's a lot of noise coming from Earth. So if you want it to be silent, you go on the other side of the moon, which is blocking all of that radio, and you're listening to space silently. We've never been able to do that before. So this is really important. If this prediction comes true, this is really important because of the strategic position that China will be in, that everyone is trying to control. There's a space, and I can't remember what it's called. Do I write it down here? No. There's a space, and I can't remember what it's called, but it is this space where all of the satellites and everything run between here and the moon. And if you can control the dark side of the moon, you can control all of that space. So strategically, it puts China way ahead of the game. Way ahead of the game. Strategically, militarily. Mm-hmm. Not good for us. You don't really care.
No,
that.
I do care. I mean, it doesn't seem doesn't seem like one of your positive ones. But
I don't know. Finding, you know, if and I don't know if these would be connected, and I'm way out on a limb on the extraterrestrial life. But what would reaction be like today if we found out that there was really truly life, intelligent life?
I mean, you mean on Earth?
No, that's not going to happen. We'll never find that.
It would be interesting. I mean, the presentation, right? And I go by all the documentaries I've seen over time.
I know.
And the presentation,
Independence Day,
it would unite us, right, against some sort of enemy almost.
Do you think so? Do you think we would view it as an enemy now? I think we might actually. I mean, depends on how it's framed.
Mm-hmm.
But if we said, hey, we just got a signal from outer space, I think we might go, oh, they're going to be friendly. Hey, let's make picnic baskets. I mean, there would be the other side, but I think a lot of people wouldn't. A, it wouldn't be the freak out that would have happened when we were kids.
You're right. I think we would be able to. I think we've had enough of those documentaries over the time that have convinced us that's not a good tactic all the time to just assume they're threats and start shooting at them. It doesn't work out well.
Right.
In the documentary Mars Attacks, however, they came and they said, we come in peace over and over again, even as they were shooting us with lasers.
Right.
They were saying, we come in peace.
Right.
And so you can't trust. You just can't trust.
But what was that movie that came out, you know, where they went to the big, you know, square in the sky? Just recently it came out. It was Arrival. Yeah, Arrival.
Arrival, yeah.
Did you see that movie?
I did, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. That was the one.
I think that's the kind of movie that has prepared us for, look, they're smarter than us. They're going to kill us if they want to kill us, so let's just relax. Let's just go talk to them.
It just doesn't seem like they could be a society dumber than us at this point. I assume they're
smarter. Oh, I think that's why they're going to communicate with us. They're like, we can take these guys in about 2.5 seconds.
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we should recap for you. One of them is Nikki Haley. I think Nikki Haley is, I mean, she is the superstar. Did you see in what is it, Fire and Fury, the stuff said about Nikki Haley?
Yeah, they kind of seem that she's angling for a potential run in the future.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I wouldn't have considered Nikki Haley to, you know, necessarily vote for president of the United States until I've seen her in action.
She's been great so far. She's been one of the better appointments, I think.
Yeah, she is a home run all-star. Here she is on the Iran protests. We don't have it? Okay.
Video issues, apparently.
Okay.
She's been good on that. I mean, you haven't talked about the Iran issues really at all. And, you know, it was a weird thing that happened completely, you know, on vacation. Yeah. It's still going on. But this is the time we had this opportunity in 2009 to try to support.
Yeah, it was more widespread in 2009. And the problem is, and I have not been watching, you know, cable news. So I don't know what others are saying on cable news. But what this really is about is inflation. The Iranians had just put up with about 40% inflation, and it was just runaway, and it was killing people. And so they went and they reset everything, and, you know, they got control of their economy, and the mullahs were like, oh, and Allah has blessed us or whatever, and everybody was fine. Now they've promised that they will never see double-digit inflation again. Well, it just hit, I think, 11%. And so this started in the most religious communities. This is why it's really dangerous for the mullahs and Khomeini, is this action started over the price of milk and cheese and everything else that they might eat because of inflation in the most religious districts. So these are the fans of the Islamic State at first. The fans were the ones standing up going, hey, you just promised us that we would never, ever have this inflation again. And then that lit the torch, and now it's starting to spread. So this is a completely different kind of movement, or at least it started as a completely different kind of movement than what we had before. Those were people who wanted to destroy the regime. against the religious hardliners. Some of these are religious hardliners saying, I don't know if I believe in this regime anymore. So we have a great potential on it.
In a positive way or a negative? I mean, if you're coming out and you're saying you guys aren't super Islamic extremist enough for me, that doesn't seem like the good seed of a revolution.
No, I don't think that they're saying you're not super Islamic extremist enough for us. They're saying we're not sure this works. We're not sure this works anymore.
We might still be religious and
yes,
maybe,
but we're not sure this regime works anymore the way it is.
You think
they're getting tired of the average person, and you can be really, really religious but not be on a jihad. And what's happening is the super religious are like, you know what? I just want to be religious, and I'd like my own house to be where I'd like a job, and I'd like to be able to afford stuff, and I'd like to have my family around, and I'm tired of all these grand adventures that you're going on for a caliphate and everything else. That'd be great, but this isn't working. Take care of us first. So it's good in a way.
It seems, I mean, certainly presented as positive, everything I've read about it, it seems to be, you know,
we should be
like anything that's going to topple that regime. I mean, is a good thing. Although, you know, we've said that before.
See what happens. You know, who is there to catch it? Yeah,
right.
As it
exactly.
Falls?
Yeah, you know, ISIS caught part of it in Iraq. Right. I mean, you know, this is
and
always
Turkey.
Yeah, Turkey. That was, you know, I know you talk about Turkey a little bit in your predictions as well that you're going to be kind of revealing over the week. You know, that's you see them as really a big factor going forward.
Turkey is going, and I'll talk about this later in the week. Turkey is going to turn much more hardline, and they are going. They're going towards Sharia law. They're gonna, you know, they are not going to be an ally of freedom. They aren't already. And I think the Kurds are going to pay a huge price. And the weaker Iran gets, the more Turkey will lick its chops, because Turkey is going to try to remake the Ottoman Empire again. So it's just beginning. I think another interesting thing is watch for a new Arab Spring in Iran the week of the first day of spring. Because there's another anniversary that's happening in Iran on that, the day before the first day of spring, that could start a second Arab Spring.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to Pat Gray from the Pat Gray Extravaganza. Welcome, Pat. How are you?
Good. You?
I'm good.
Does it already feel like you weren't on vacation at all?
No. You know what? We were gone for 2 weeks, and I read so much, and I'm so full of new ideas and new things that I actually, this is the first time in a long time I've come back refreshed.
Yeah, we were thinking really? We could do one really good show every 2 weeks. If we went that,
right?
You know,
yeah.
But
take 2 weeks
that
off,
was,
do a show, take another 2 weeks.
I was thinking you do 4 weeks, we do a day. You do 4 weeks, we do a day.
Thoughts?
Let me mull that over.
All right. It'd be a good show, Pat. It'd be a good show for us. It'd be a good show. I mean, it's just riddled with stuff. Have you had the time yet to read Fire and Fury?
No, I have not yet.
You need to. And you need to read it with this warning. If you think, and this is why liberals love this, if you think that he's an incompetent boob, the first third quarter of the book, first three chapters of the book, you're like, wow, okay, he doesn't know what's going on. He has no clue. If you think that he's a bad guy, the first third at least, you'll be like, yeah, okay, bad guy. If you are a liberal, that's all you'll read. That's all you. That's you'll be.
All
fine.
You'll absorb.
You'll absorb. Yeah. You'll be fine with it. If you are a real conservative, you will begin as you read it. You will begin to say, "Wait a minute. This seems like everything that Steve Bannon wants me to believe about Donald Trump, the administration, all the people around. This looks like a really good book for Steve Bannon. Steve, I think Stu and I both came to the same conclusion that it's almost a ghost-written book by Steve Bannon, where he is telling you, in fact, he does at the end, I'm going to run for president, and here are the things that I do. He makes the Trump, they've turned this Gorsuch thing, which may be true, may not be true, we don't know. But Gorsuch came out and said something bad about Trump after the nomination. And in the book, it says Trump said, I want Giuliani. I want Giuliani. Get him out of there. And it was Steve Bannon to the rescue with Gorsuch and said, no, no, no. You have to hold your promise to America.
Wow.
Yeah, over and over and over again.
Wow.
Like that, every chapter almost has that
kind
of stuff.
I've been fascinated by this Bannon thing because he's all over the place. I think he's all over the place now and backtracking now. Have you noticed what he's saying now? That he's a great man. Oh, and by the way, Donald Jr. is a wonderful man, too. He's really good, too.
Oh, you should see.
And Barron. Barron. I love Barron. Yeah.
Ivanka, one of the most beautiful, smart, accomplished women in the world.
When you read the
takedown. Because he's being destroyed.
Yeah. When you read the takedown that is clearly from Bannon on those two, his children. Oh, my gosh. As a dad, I'd be apoplectic.
And he is.
Yeah.
And he is.
Yeah.
And that's why he's destroying him.
What happens to Steve Bannon from here? What happens to Breitbart? What happens to all? Honestly, I haven't asked this out loud, but for all those people who were behind Breitbart and Bannon and saying that we were wrong, he was a good guy, and we kept saying he's dangerous. No, no, no. These are the kinds of things he does. This book verifies all of that. So
on the record quotes from Bannon that he's not denied.
Right.
So that is the important part of your people are like, oh, it's fake news. He said it on the record and he has not denied it.
Yeah.
Well, I think the time to support them both is over. Hasn't the president made that pretty clear? I mean, you're with him or you're with me. And everybody, including the billionaire backers that were formerly backing Steve Bannon, are off that bandwagon.
He's losing all his friends.
Yep.
Did you see that he is, I think Drudge did this, so I'm not sure if this is true or not, but meeting with a big Chinese backer, which
doesn't seem good.
Doesn't seem good, especially after you read the book and see what he said about China. And then in one of the most incredible portions of the book, when they're talking about Russia, Steve Bannon is quoted as saying, that's what's so great about me. I don't even know Russians. I've never been to a Russian restaurant. I don't like Russian dressing. I mean, he goes, doesn't he?
Oh,
he goes on and on and on about how he has no connections whatsoever. He doesn't even know. That's a lie. That's a lie. I can guarantee you he's had conversations with Russians. I can guarantee it. Guarantee it. Look at who he's surrounded with.
And that's the thing. Like he keeps trying to play this off as like, oh, I was just going after Manafort or whatever. He said that the chances of the Russians in that meeting not going upstairs and meeting with Donald Trump, the chances of that were zero.
Right. Yeah. That they wouldn't have specifically walked them
upstairs.
There.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. And he called Donald Trump treasonous for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty hard to back off treasonous.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
He's trying to
it's
do
unbelievable.
It. But it's hard.
Yeah.
You're not a great man if you're committing treason. And that's what now all of a sudden he's a great man. Well, yeah.
You can't. Because he's destroying
being
you.
Being destroyed.
I think Bannon overplayed his hand. I think Bannon thought this was going to come out and make the president look bad. And like the things about Gorsuch, wait a minute. He was the guy who did Gorsuch, not Donald Trump.
You're not going to win that
and
battle.
And somehow or another, everybody's going to go like, I like Donald Trump, not this spooky guy in the shadows. I like him much better now.
No.
No.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
He really thought people, I think, he thought this would turn people around and have them go, oh, I like the spooky guy in the shadows more than Donald Trump.
You're probably right. And that's really flawed thinking based on everything we've seen from Donald Trump from the time he entered the race until now. He destroyed everybody.
So another thing that I read in the book, and Stu doesn't remember this, so I don't know. I think I read it in the book. We'll have to look at it. But I read somewhere, and I thought it was in the book, that trying to find his background on Seinfeld. You know, everybody said, oh, he was part of the investor in Seinfeld. And they, I think it was in the book that said, no, we couldn't find any evidence that he was involved with Seinfeld at all.
Which is like supposedly the claim where he's getting all of his money from. And because he was not a huge, like, high-level guy at Goldman.
Stu said, here's my favorite quote from the book. This is so good.
About Bannon?
Yeah.
For a man with a strong sense of his own destiny, he tended to be hardly noticed. That was describing his life. He tended to be hardly noticed.
Wow.
And then that, you know, it plays into his narrative, which is, you know, he needs to be noticed. He can't resist telling the media how brilliant he was and how this is his doing. Mm-hmm. And I think what he wants to do now is, now that he's out, one of the first things he said when Bannon left the administration was, the presidency as we knew it is over.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he wants to say, hey, all these bad things that are going to happen are Jared and Ivanka's fault, right? Because he doesn't like them. And he's trying to paint this as, now you, what you liked about Trump was me, and now the stuff you're not going to like is them. But honestly, I mean, half the problem I had with Donald Trump throughout, from the primary on to today, was Steve Bannon, right? Like, the fact that he's out, we've seen a huge improvement, I think, in the administration. Things have been getting done.
A far better first year than I could have imagined.
Yeah. I mean, and later in the, since Bannon left, there has been a noticeable positive change, at least policy-wise, right? Like, there's still, you're still going to get Trump, you know, tweeting about how he's a genius. Right? That's not going to end, right? That's never, he's like a genius. That's never going to end. But that's just
him. No, he's not like it. He's like a very smart person.
And a very stable
genius.
He's
a very stable genius.
Very stable genius. I apologize.
I want a very stable genius t-shirt. I want one.
That's very,
I want one. I'm going to make one.
And that's what I think he enjoys about the job, right? Like, that's, he likes the back and forth. He likes taking it to the media. But Bannon wants you to know that the policy stuff was him, and this bad stuff going on now is Jared and Ivanka's fault.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and like, throughout the book, it just reads like he's trying to send you a message. And I think, you know, it's the price
you have to read.
The price you pay for access.
You have to read it, because I'd love to hear, because the media has it all wrong. The media is just focusing on Trump is an imbecile. That's not the point of this book. It's really not the point. That is the surface level. You look down and you see, what is Bannon trying to foster for 2020? What is he actually doing? I don't think anybody on the left will understand this book for what it means to the people on the right. And it's a really important look at what is coming on the right with Steve Bannon. Now, he may have blown it.
Oh, I think he did.
Yeah, he may have blown it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And what a horrible miscalculation on his part, to think that he can go up against Trump and reposition Trump and become the guy everybody looks to in 2020. There's no way you're going to do that.
So, you know what's really interesting is, Roger Ailes said to me one time, I said, Roger, and this is absolutely true. And did you guys ever spend any time with Roger?
Well, I had one meeting with him.
Very little.
Meeting.
But,
was it a good meeting or a bad meeting?
It was fine.
Okay.
I don't remember.
This guy, you heard me tell, I would leave his office and I would come and tell you guys, you won't believe what just happened in this meeting.
Right.
So he's very entertaining and super smart and just really good at what he did. And I said to him at one point, I said, you would have been the biggest TV star in the history of television. And he just looked at me, and that's all I said. And he looked at me and he said, but I looked like this. And he knew.
Yeah.
And there was some sort of, you know, tinge of regret that he wasn't able to do it. I don't think that Bannon has that self-awareness. I think Bannon thinks, I'm the face of this.
Because they both see themselves as the same character, right? The person who's smart enough and could do it. And of course, the difference is that Ailes has had success and has been able to do these things, where Bannon has been.
Has not. He's got Roy Moore.
What was the quote again? Largely unnoticed.
Yeah. What happens to Breitbart? What happens to the Patriot Channel?
I think Breitbart in particular is damaged now. And who knows if they can salvage that.
They can salvage it if they distance themselves now.
Yeah, they got to get away from Bannon.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could do that, because that would be a positive. Because there's always been good people working at Breitbart who have gone through that. I mean, Ben Shapiro was there forever.
Yeah. He left because of Bannon.
Dana Lash was there. Yeah. There's been great people who have not only gone through there, but there are some that are still remain. And so there's no reason that Breitbart has to trash Breitbart's memory as it has for several years. There's no reason they can't turn that around. I think everybody now realizes that Bannon hijacked that organization. So if he leaves, they could turn themselves back around to not just be a political organ for one guy.
How do you get rid of the people that are probably still cheering for people like Milo?
You're gonna need a house cleaning of many of the people there. But there's a lot of good people there. Yeah. Surely.
Well, they're gonna have to decide: do you want to be alt-right or do you want to be conservative?
Yeah,
you're gonna have to make that decision first, and then you go from there. Maybe they like the Milo people. I don't know. I guess it's who takes over instead of Bannon that will determine that.
Well, you have to read Fire and Fury, Pat, because you'll be able to. You just have to turn down the Donald Trump censor and just go, okay, whatever they say about Donald Trump. Don't read it for Donald Trump. Read it for policy and direction and what Bannon is saying. They try that. This writer I know thinks he's hurting Bannon by saying, well, he's a nationalist and he's for all these big government status kind of things. No, Bannon wants you to say that. There's a lot of people on the right now that believe in that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's setting forth a new conservative movement, and he's using this. This book is a Trojan horse.
Glenn Beck.
It's kind of a big week, personally at least. Today is my 18th wedding anniversary. I married the most wonderful woman in the world who we were talking last night. This time has flown by. When we talk that we've known each other for 20 years, it just seems like, what? How did that even... And I've been married before, and it didn't necessarily move as quickly as this one has. But 20 years. And this Friday is our 20-year anniversary of working together, is it not?
Yeah, my first day as an intern was this week 20 years ago, which seems freaking crazy.
Yeah, that I brought you along and,
exactly.
And promoted you from intern.
Can we also disclose that today is tonight's your anniversary, and you've invited me to a movie?
Yes, we're very romantic.
So you're doing a good job there. Working out well. Good job,
she
Tanya.
She planned it.
Nice prick-up on the free agent market there, Tanya.
She planned it. She was like, dear God.
Get us into a dark room wherever other people are. And other people are talking when we can't speak.
We're with the whole family. And we're taking the whole family to go see Darkest Hour tonight. And would love to have you come because you will love this movie.
I really want to see it.
You will love this movie.
Winston Churchill.
Oh, my gosh. And it's just... my wife went to it going, this is the price I pay being married to Glenn Beck. She came out loving the movie. It was her suggestion to go again tonight to take the whole family. Mm-hmm. Darkest Hour. See it.
Glenn Beck.